Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Nearby corn futures have rallied against the new crop. How much more will it take for the trade to pry the last few remaining bushels out of the farmers' hands? We'll talk about that and the big wheat freeze today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. Our panelists today in studio are Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He's right here in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Is there any reason at this time farmers might consider old crop corn sales, or at least preparing themselves to make those sales? We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Well, it depends where you're at in your marketing plan more than anything. I mean, if you're holding a large inventory, you probably got to use some strength in here to get caught up to where you want to be, because seasonally, if this weather cooperates, the trend's lower over the next few weeks. The next rally won't happen until later on in June and July. So if you're going to be a holder of old corn, you got to be prepared to hold it for some time.
And Clayton Pope?
I've been out of old crop corn for a long time, and I certainly wouldn't advocate holding it at this point. I think as cheap as some of these calls and call spreads have gotten, I don't think the risk-reward ratio makes any sense at all to justify holding the physical.
And Ellen Dearden?
I think we ought to be very active sellers. I'm afraid that we're going to see some wholesale dumping in this July-August time period, and so our window is really closing pretty quickly. We did see along the river system some basis improvement this past week, and I think producers ought to be looking at that.
I want to take up both of those things. Let's start with the dumping potential and talk about the bull spreading that happened earlier in the week in the corn market. Is that related to the dumping that you're talking about at some point?
I think there's two things that happened on this situation with the bull spreading in corn. First is we did see some China buying at the Gulf. They had hoped to originate this corn, out of South America, but that didn't happen with Argentina being wet. So both Bunge and ADM were pretty active buyers of actual inventories of corn along the river to supply these ships at the Gulf. And this corn's going into Asia, and the shipment date was the first part of May, so it had to be done rather quickly, and that's, I think, why we saw the basis improve. The board improved because these exporters really didn't expect that they would be able to get the amount of corn bought that they would have anticipated in this time period with producers starting to be in the fields.
I'm going to follow up on this question about the basis levels and what's been happening on the river and demand. I was wondering, and she's given us one thought that there's been some buying and that there's actually demand there. The other idea is that it may be, I suppose, that transportation is a bit of a problem because everything's coming north as opposed to going south at this time. Might that be part of the reason that cash bids near the river and CIF values have gone up too?
Yeah, that could be, you know, looking at barge freight and opportunities there. But I think the bottom line is producers sold out. I mean, there's very few producers have corn left. I mean, not only is this old crop sold, new crop 07 sold, 08 and 09 sold. So I think producers have been aggressive. And this demand came on, like you mentioned, and they had to bid up to gather some.
All right. Corn futures this week at a high in the May contract of $3.76. Their low at $3.51. May settled at $3.60.5. They were off 8.5 cents from last week. December futures were down 20.25 at $3.74.75. And in the wheat pit, the May contract had a high this week of $5.14, a low at $4.71.5. The May futures settled at $5.02. They were up 23.5. And the July futures there at 514 and three quarters were up 24 and three quarters. Anything in the corn pit that you saw this week that you thought was strange, unusual, that made you think about the marketplace in a new way, Clayton?
Oh, man. How long we got here?
Well, it's an open... No, it seemed to me that it was an awful, a bit of an unusual week, and I thought you might have... I'm not sure where to go, so I'm just fishing
very,
at the point.
Very unusual, no doubt about that. And actually, yeah, that's a good question to ask because it kind of ties in with what we were just talking about. I did want to make a comment on those lines. Call me skeptical, but I don't think that move, that flare-up on Wednesday and Thursday and in the front-month corn had very little to do with the cash markets. My best take on it is that you had some really big players in this market trying to light a match to what they thought was a gasoline-soaked rag, kind of like they saw last September in the wheat market. They went in there, you know, got like gangbusters and bought the nearby back then, and it touched off an explosion, and you know what happened with the wheat market, flat price and the spread. And I think they gave it their best effort to ignite that same kind of thing here in the corn because the July D spread had gotten to about as close to full carry as it was going to get, I think, with the carryover relatively tight. I think they gave it a good college try, but it failed miserably. And as we saw Friday, they bailed out, and better luck next time. It didn't work, and I don't think the fundamentals really changed that much in the interim, and we're still faced with a fairly bearish picture right now.
Yeah, definitely the spread activity is just murder. If you're in the wrong way, it's worse than trading the futures, and I think we've got to get used to it. But the overall volatility, you got wheat up 20 overnight and you're down 10 during the day. This is just a sign of what we're getting warmed up to, and it's going to get more interesting as we get into more traditional weather markets this summer.
Ellen, do you buy into that explanation along with your demand explanation too?
I think we saw just an awful lot of people floundering, trying to find something in the market to do. And so I would kind of agree with Clayton there, but I still saw that exporter pricing, and I think it's related to that Gulf business. That may be all over with by now. I mean, the way markets closed on Friday, that buying spree may be done.
Has the ownership on the commercial side changed in the last 2 weeks?
Not a whole lot.
You'd be the first one I've talked to that might have said that not a whole lot. You don't think they've really changed their ownership? Anybody agree or disagree with that one?
As far as commercials versus funds and so forth?
Yeah.
Well, the CFTC numbers, that doesn't seem like, other than just being a slow erosion in the fund's longs, it doesn't seem like the swings have really been as dramatic as the price movement might imply.
Hmm. Does that tell us anything about the market at all? Or not? Or just a number to watch?
I think it would tell me that the market is more things change, the more they stay the same, and that the funds are primarily technically driven. And the air is slowly leaking out of the balloon here because the technical picture has deteriorated dramatically in the last month.
Soy complex now may be 742.5 on the high, the low at 713.5. They settled at 723.25. They were off 14.75 from last week. November beans at 767.5 were down 16.25. Now on Tuesday, the bean market took a pretty good hit. That was the day after Daryl Good had released a report, and Daryl confidently told me if he had that much influence on the market that he and I might be doing better than we are at this point. But nonetheless, he said the soybean market in that report might be just a bit overpriced, and to be fair, he meant the new crop in sometime between fall and harvest of the South American bean crop in 2008. He suggested a 720 figure could be justified in new crop soybeans. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty logical place. That 720, 820 range is really what we've been establishing here in the Novembers. And, 720 has been one of those pivot kind of areas. When we're below it, that's been a resistance area. When we're above it, that seems to be supportive. We're not too far from that already.
Yeah. Are beans, do you think, going to be under pressure as we get later, under pressure to the upside, I mean, as we get later into the season, if we get delayed with corn planting? Do you think the corn, I guess my thought is, because of crop insurance, farmers will continue to plant corn as long as they can possibly plant corn, and that might seriously delay the bean crop being put in the ground. Am I just... everybody's looking at me strange, so I'll just retract the question. But my thought is...
Maybe. I think that a lot of these soft red winter wheat acres that are going to be ripped up will go to beans rather than corn. I know the economics is corn, but I look at the guys and they're more tuned into beans.
So the farther south you go, you mean the more likely they are to go ahead and put the beans in because they're used to double cropping?
Right. That would be my guess. And I don't know that we're going to see a 50-50 split or anything along that line, but I think we'll see milo planted, and I think we'll see more beans planted than what guys are talking about right now.
And does that give you pause to think about pulling the trigger on more new crop bean sales?
Not being already this depressed, I think on any kind of a little rally, I think you got to be looking at making bean sales.
Kurt, what do you see in the marketplace?
Well, the trend's definitely down, and I think you got to use strength to be a seller in here. Seasonally, typically, we see some weakness going into this May time window, so I think you got to be a seller here. I have no problem with the downside objective, this 725 area, but as far as this replant goes on the wheat, I'm picking up a lot more corn, especially guys out in Nebraska and Kansas. You know, it depends on your situation, what have you done with it and what's your best return opportunity. But we're definitely going to pick up more corn acres, and we're definitely going to pick up more bean acres from this frost freeze.
And that's kind of interesting because you have to divide the crop into the two crops, soft red winter wheat and hard red winter wheat. And in the hard red winter wheat areas, you're thinking more corn. Ellen's thinking in the soft red winter wheat, more soybeans. And both of those may make some sense to the farmer's mind and geographically, I suppose, and would put pressure on both marketplaces. Certainly, if you put more corn acres in, it's far more likely we might get to that 90.5 million acre that they talked about at the USDA March 30 prospective plantings report.
Yeah, over time. But, too, we still got, you know, some weather to get through. But I wouldn't get too excited about where we are playing progress-wise. If you go back to the record production year on yield was 160 bushels in 2004. At that time, we were only 6% planted. The next week, we were only 20% planted. Then the first May, we were only 37% planted. So I wouldn't get too hyped up just yet on planting delays. You take progress of planting. If you want to, you say the earlier, the better. Not necessarily true. In 2005, at this time, we were 14% planted. We were over 50% planted by the 1st of May. That year, we only yielded 149 bushels of the acre.
And if I remember correctly, it was a cool, wet spring in 2004 as well, so similar to what we've had in some respects to this point. And it was, maybe more importantly, there was good moisture in the ground at that point, which certainly is the case across the Midwest right now. So, Clayton, when you look at all of these factors, and I want everybody to think about this just a bit, because we know we've got all the guys in the cabs, and they're working, putting the crop in the ground. So what's your best advice at this time for producers? Let's say they've got crop insurance on most of their corn acres, a good portion of their soybean acres, and they're 30% along on sales on corn. What's your best advice for new crop?
Well, I'm always reluctant to tell somebody to go in there and chase a break and sell it, but I think the worst thing a guy could do right now would be to freeze and think, oh, doggone it, I missed it. I'll catch it next time it's up there. Because we're still at some very, very good price levels. You can still lock in some phenomenal grosses per acre. So I guess my advice at this point would be to try to build a safety net, at, you know, something approximating these levels using options. I think if you were 30% sold, I'd be very reluctant to chase this in the cash market with more cash sales, but I would by all means put some more protection on, because this thing has the potential to keep eroding here right now unless Mother Nature takes a sudden turn.
I think we do have the chance to erode, and I think the chance for basis to erode is rather large, particularly for guys who like to do selling in that fall through December time period. I would push sales into that time period if that's your main bent is to have sales there.
Cash
I would push cash sales there. Otherwise, I'd probably be looking at the board and come back with long calls.
I'd maybe consider put option. It still leaves your market plan flexible. You know, we don't get all this corn planted, or else we turn hot and dry this summer. They'll run this thing to the moon.
All right, let's take one quick look at what's been happening in the rest of the marketplace. May oats at 258. We're down 13 for the day from the Mercantile Exchange, for the week, rather. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle, the April contract, a high this week at 97.75. Their low at 94.50. And their settlement price at 95.62.5. The live cattle at down $1.42.5 for the week. The April feeders at 107.05. We're down 20. Lean hogs, the new lead option there, the May contract, recently, April expiring, a high of 76.75 on the week, the low at 76.02.5. So this is the composite from both, and the change at 76.57.5 in the May settlement price. It was up $11.10. Of course, that was from an April Friday settlement last Friday. And the May bellies were up 105, or rather at 105, and they were up 75 for the week. USDA on Friday afternoon released a cattle on feed report. It's at 99% on feed as of April 1st, placed at 107, and the market at 94%. The only thing that was really off from the range was the marketed in March. The range from 95.5 to 100% finished up at 94%. Mean anything to you for the Friday morning open?
Monday morning open, I would think, is what we're talking about.
Yes.
with the marketings, they're on a little low side, and we had a big gap down in these April live cattle today. We'll see more pressure on the April and maybe even into the June, since those April expire in another week.
Yeah, definitely a little lower starting out, but probably what's more important is cutout values to the packers first part next week.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was another cool week here in Illinois, but the good news was that it was also dry. Temperatures this week averaged 4 degrees below normal across the entire state, even with the warm weather on Monday, when temperatures reached the 70s and even 80 in some places. The lack of rain combined with brisk winds and some sunshine did help drive things out, even if temperatures weren't at normal springtime levels. The last significant rainfall occurred last weekend across central and southern Illinois, and it was light at that. Some areas of the state have been rain-free for even a few days longer. At the midpoint of the month, rainfall is near to above normal over the southern third and in far northern Illinois, and running about 60 to 75% of normal across north-central Illinois. Winds will turn southerly this weekend, beginning the return of warmer air to Illinois and the Midwest. A weak cold front should trigger some scattered showers and thunderstorms as it moves through Illinois late Sunday into Monday. That will, however, mark the beginning of what is likely to be a daily chance for rain in Illinois as a series of disturbances move through the Midwest. It could be next weekend before the chances for rain appreciably diminish. Temperatures will be near normal next week, which means highs generally in the 60s and lows in the 40s. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL Urbana. Our panelists today in studio are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. Our guest is Glenn Ring. He's the president of Glenn Ring Enterprises, which focuses on providing information, education, research, and support for traders, analysts, and other participants in the futures industry. That according to the website at glennringenterprises.glennringinc.org. Glenn produces the biweekly View on Futures newsletter and View on Futures Daily Update. Glenn is in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Thanks for joining us on the show this afternoon, Glenn. We appreciate it.
That's good to be back.
I want to start by taking up the question, one of the questions I asked the panelist, which is if you've got coverage on your corn at 85%, a revenue assurance program, and you're 30% along, what do you do at this point? Anything?
On the new crop? Old crop?
New crop.
Actually, my view is twofold. Short term, I'm holding out hope for a decent recovery because I've got some cycle lows that we're just doing here in corn, 34-week cycle lows. It's actually a question of whether or not they're finished bottoming. Once they bottom, or if they have bottomed, we should get a minimum of a 3 to 5 week recovery. The concern is that the lows are already in, and thus we may only have a few weeks left in the recovery. Longer term, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to own any of the old crop. I'd just as soon have my new crop priced if I could have already, because history is very, very dangerous right here. We have 11 out of the last 11 years, we have plummeted into the middle of the growing season in corn. And 10 out of the last 10 years, we made new life of contract lows in December corn after May 1. Don't know that we'll do it again, but I suspect these markets will try.
You better give me some context for that. And I mean, and when I say context, what months are we talking about? August?
Plummeting?
Yes.
Into July is the best. June and July are your best days to plummet into. Our seasonal patterns have changed with the Freedom to Farm Act took over. From 1996 forward, especially the 97 crop year forward, our seasonal patterns have become dramatically different. We have, again, every year we have declined into a couple times we bottomed out early in May and June, early June. But other than that, we've typically declined right into what we used to think to be in seasonal highs.
Yeah, but isn't all of that related to the government program and part of the program that farmers wouldn't have taken advantage of last year? Didn't have to because they didn't have LDP, they didn't have to do the loan, any of that kind of thing?
The answer is I don't know why. I just know that it's been happening. And I also know that last year we were well above LDP prices, et cetera, when we again plummeted into August before we took off. And we made new life of contract lows at that time. So all I know is history has been running, and I hate to bet against that with my bird in the hand I've got right here. If we get another leg up in this stuff, I'll worry about 08, 09, and 10.
Well, Glenn, what's your assessment of the wheat damage here over Easter weekend?
Well, I'm not a fundamentalist, but I used to raise wheat, and I do know the statistics on wheat that 75% of the years when we've gotten an early freeze, you've had above normal yields in wheat. But it's a good reason to put one more leg in wheat. It also had a cycle low. It's come off it way better than corn has. And wheat is having its fun right now. It's getting a run. April highs, or if we extend beyond April, history says we'll try to go all the way into June. It should be the final leg of a multi-year bull market, according to my work.
Glenn, I've always enjoyed your work on dollar and currency sure. levels versus commodity prices in general. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I wrote an entire newsletter today just about how the marketplace, how it's not responded to the dollar, which is actually a response. The dollar is setting near multi-year lows, and yet the marketplace doesn't act like it's worried at all. That tells me one of several things. The most likely one is that the marketplace already knows that the dollar will probably hold, and what is scary is a lot of commodities, like take the CRB index, and it's not a great measure of commodity prices, but it's an okay one. CRB is about 1% above where it was 1 year ago. The inflation momentum is gone. If the dollar were to reverse, my fear is deflation, and in raw commodities. I don't mean in the general public and things like that. The other thing I'm worried about that we're seeing this week, and with the gapping higher this week in the stock indexes on the cash basis, which is very rare, tells me that the money pendulum, the money flow, of money diversifying into the commodities is probably coming to an end, and the money is going to start running back to the equities.
Glenn, would you like to address how bean oils acted this week? I mean, it's had kind of a wild week, and is it going to continue to lead these beans?
The answer is people might want to hope it doesn't. I have a 36-month turn due right now in bean oil, probably being a top. These have been pretty regular turns. It has a little bit of leeway, could go another month, but right now my action in here, my work shows that if we were to take out this week's low next week, that the top would probably be in. So the answer is yes, it'll probably lead the beans, but I had corrective rallies ending in the energies this week. I had a rally ending in the bean oil. There's probably been more relation with the bean oil and the energies than anything else, and it's got me very nervous about these grains and oil seeds.
Was there a high as well in the metals?
That's an interesting thing there. I have timing work on the metals in here, but the metals don't respond as well to my timing work as most things, so it's more of a generalization. The metals are up against very major resistance, and they're probably going to mirror what happens in the dollar, and I actually do have timing work in the dollar for right now and on through mid-May for some major timing turns.
Well, Glenn,
if the dollar were to reverse back up, the metals would probably turn back down.
Well, Glenn, on your bean comment there, what type of downside objective would you have in these new crop November beans then?
I'm afraid to reprise what I did a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. but I think the downside risk is exceptional. If we get below 753 in November beans, I've got them going to 651, and my work shows that we could indeed be in the low fives this fall.
This fall.
I have a lot of cycles due to bottom again starting in very late July, early August in soybean meal, 47-week cycle that's already peaked, and other cycles due to bottom this fall, 3-year cycle in the CRB, which beans tend to track. I've got my next 34-week cycles in corn will be about the time the new crop expires. This tells me that any weather scares will probably be up front and that we'll probably have a pretty good growing season And I think the biggest risk to these crops prices this year is no weather problems.
Given a normal growing season, no weather problems, and that $5 figure you're quoting for beans, where are you putting the corn?
Well, the last 10 years, December corn's taken out, made new life of contract lows, and the life of contract low is 246 and a half. So you can infer from that I see vulnerability down to below 245.
Ouch.
I right now, for my marketing clients, and I don't do hands-on marketing, but I do generalization with marketing clubs, I have suggested that these guys, because of the farm programs offered so many, and the insurance offered so many alternatives, to buy basis puts. We were buying December corn 310 puts and $3 puts when they were 3 cents or less, just to hedge against a perfect crop, just in case there won't be, because we're going to plug the system at harvest if we have a great crop this year. Same thing with the beans, because the competition for the extra volume of corn could make it tough to get rid of beans at harvest. We were buying, you know, very cheap puts, and you could buy some very high strikes, because if we have the perfect crop and we go back down into the below 250 December corn, we were looking at getting, you know, a 50-cent return on a 3-cent basis hedge. That'll cover a lot of bases.
Explain what a basis put is, please.
Well, it's basically, instead of using a put to try to protect the absolute price of corn, it is to use the put option to protect about not being able to ever get your basis to tighten. For example, I've got customers that have sold on hedge to arrives that haven't established the basis. So if the marketplace were to deteriorate on a perfect crop, we're just using very cheap put options just to protect against basis movement, so that if you pick up, instead of trying to, because if you buy a, like now, a 280 or 290 put, you don't put in that great of a floor compared to flat pricing. But if we were to realize a, you know, 245 December futures, you still pick up 30 or 40 cents you can apply to your basis.
Last summer, though, in the wheat market, there was a dollar basis. Could that possibly happen to corn, where corn futures could stay at 350 and the cash go to 250?
Could it happen? Yes. I'm more concerned that it's going to go the other way on us, is that the cash and the basis are both going to deteriorate in here. You guys talk about your guys having your corn sold out. It's not that way over here, not over here in Iowa. There's a lot of guys with inventory. And I'm worried like Alan is. I think she's got it just right, that there's a real liquidation risk going into midsummer.
Glenn, we appreciate you being with us today.
You're sure welcome.
Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises, joined us from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Now, a final word from our panelists, Ellen Dearden.
As you fellows head to the field, take lots of breaks. We sure need you to be around for the duration, and we would certainly hope that you'll be able to tune in to WILL for lots of updates.
Thank you much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden, of course, with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Clayton Pope is with Clayton Pope out of Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois.
Well, things have changed an awful lot since we put the highs in the corn a couple months ago, and as such, your marketing should be changing, too. We know we've got an awful lot bigger acreage than we thought of at the time. We know that demand is less, and we know the carryovers are likely bigger. So now is not the time to freeze like a deer in the headlights.
And Kurt Kimmel with Grainfield Marketing.
Look for a lot of volatility and stay safe.
Thanks much. That is today's edition of Commodity Week. Be sure to tune in Monday morning for our opening and pre-opening market reports. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.